Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Looking for inspiring stories? Listen to the EY Leading Into Tomorrow podcast. It features compelling stories from leaders across government and the public sector who've transformed their organizations and services. From the impact of grants to how digital innovation is reshaping affordable childcare, you'll get actionable insights and ideas that can be used around the world. Download Leading Into Tomorrow by EY wherever you get your podcasts.
Drug misuse is rarely out of the headlines. Grim tales of how addictive or how deadly cocaine or heroin can be.
I didn't take my first bit of cocaine and think, oh, I can't wait till I'm addicted to this. But that's where I ended up. It destroyed the person that was me.
I've seen somebody die in front of me in a hostel, in a corridor. They'd done the hit, walked out the door and dropped down.
Because of heroin.
Yeah.
But among the youngest drug misusers in the country, there's another drug that somewhat quietly soared in popularity.
There are these terrible statistics that come out for heroin and very frightening statistics for cocaine. Ketamine is never the headline. It's kind of by stealth risen as a problem without being noticed.
Ketamine. It's sweeping university campuses today, right behind cannabis as the most widely used drug among students. Its lowish price tag is part of its appeal, but it also has a reputation, an incorrect reputation, for being comparatively safe. Dominic Kennedy, the Times' investigations editor, decided to look into it, and with never-before-seen data, he paints a dark picture. You're listening to Stories of Our Times from The Times and The Sunday Times. I'm Luke Jones. Today, the quiet rise in ketamine deaths.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi there. Are you able to help me at all?
I'm confused by your question, bro.
Yeah, no, what it is, I'm doing some research about students and drugs in Manchester.
Yeah.
It's for a podcast and a newspaper article.
Yeah.
Would you be able to help with that? I could meet you or just chat on the phone now if you like, or send you text messages.
What, you're a student?
No, I'm a journalist. I'm a newspaper reporter.
I'm confused, like, why would you ask me?
Well, because you're able to supply drugs.
I am? Who said that?
Yeah, you've been... That's what you send your messages out for, mate.
No, I think you got the wrong number, mate.
I don't think so.
Dom, what was that we just heard? Who were you speaking to there?
Yeah, this is a number which I was given kindly by some students at the University of Manchester. And this is a number that they get in touch with in order to get their drugs. So, I was able, within the course of 4 text messages, I texted anonymously, to get a full menu of the drugs available, the prices that were being charged for these drugs, and to arrange a drop-off of Class B drugs at a student hall of residence, which is part of the University of Manchester. I didn't follow through and get the drugs.
We should say.
Yeah, and then I was in contact with this number for about 7 to 10 days, during which time I must have been on a mailing list, because every weekend I get messages saying, here's our special offers for this weekend, or we've just got in some new types of weed and here's the prices. So I was quite familiar with it. When I finally came clean and said, I'm a researcher, I'm a journalist, I want to know about students and drugs, he said it was the wrong number, which was quite a surprise because he rang me.
How did you know how to engage with him in terms of not outing yourself as a middle-aged bloke when you're trying to be, you know, a drug-taking student?
Yeah, well, I take advice from people who are familiar with the drug scene. I don't know how they're familiar with it. But the way that we found this is that I spoke to students at the University of Manchester, and they told me about Freshers Week in Fallowfield, which is the student district of Manchester. And what happens is there's clusters of freshers. They get approached by young people who turn out to be drug dealers, who will say, if you want any coke, ring this number. And what they do is they give the students lighters with their number on, written on paper and stuck on with adhesive tape. And then the student always has got the lighter on them when they want to ring up for some drugs. I was told by students that everyone they know has got one of these lighters, and they're a brilliant marketing device.
Why were you fishing around in this area? What got you interested in what kind of drugs students in Manchester or anywhere are taking?
Yeah, well, I did an investigation a little bit over a year ago into study drugs, and that went down very well. And then there was a headline last year saying that cocaine was rife on campus. So my editors asked me to look into this. And I spoke to my friends who are recent graduates or students, and they said, no, that's not right. We don't take cocaine. We can't afford it. We take MDMA and weed, so ecstasy and cannabis. They are the student drugs. So I kept pestering every recent graduate or student that I found and saying, what's this about cocaine on campus? Until eventually one of them said, well, at my university, it was all ketamine. And my jaw drops. I'd never heard this before, that students were particularly into ketamine. I said, what university was that? And he said, Cambridge.
Okay. And when we say ketamine, for the uninitiated, what is it? What does it do? Why are they after it?
Yeah, well, ketamine is mainly used in the UK as a horse tranquilizer. My introduction to the concept of ketamine came when I was at Newmarket, and I was being given a tour of the stables when I was working on a different story by a vet. I was looking at the fantastic racehorses that are owned by the Arab sheikhs, and this vet explained to me what ketamine is and how it's used. And what they do is they need to make a horse lie down for surgery. But it's not a dog, you can't tell it to lie down. And it's not a circus horse. So what they do is they put it in the horse equivalent of a padded cell. And they give it some ketamine, get out and close the door because you don't want the horse to fall on you. Wait to hear the thud, go back in, then give the horse some anaesthetics and perform surgery. But this is actually, although we can't ask the horse, this appears to be the same thing that happens to a human being when they go into what's known as a K-hole. And a K-hole, you don't want to get into this, it's when you slightly overdose on ketamine. So it started being abused by people with access to it, like vets. Then there started to be kind of raids and burglaries at vets' premises when it got into the wider population. But today it tends to come in packages, it's sent from abroad. I spoke to a clubber. It's fair to say this person is familiar with the use of cocaine. And he said to me, I tried ketamine once, I'll never have it again. I wanted to move away from where I was, but I wasn't able to move. And that was a frightening experience. And that is actually seems to be what also happens to the horse. You know, we're all mammals.
And are students taking it because of that type of high it gives them, as opposed to what cocaine might do or what weed might do? Or is it that it's cheap? I mean, why are they taking it?
The big appeal of ketamine is that it's about half the price of cocaine. If you work it out, it's about £3 for a dose. It gives you some of the buzzy things you get from drugs. You know, it might give you euphoria, it might help you to relax. And it's got a reputation for not being so dangerous that it would kill you.
Except we know it is.
It is very dangerous. And what we did, we commissioned statistical research, which has never been seen before, by the National Programme for Substance Abuse. And that is at St George's in London. And they found out for us that 41 students have died with ketamine in their system. To try and put that in perspective, in 2012, no students died with ketamine in their system. Since 2013, ketamine has been implicated in student deaths every year since 2013. Of all the people who die with ketamine in their system, 1 in 10 is a student. Of all people who die with any drug in their system, 1 in 50 is a student. So it seems to be 5 times as risky with students. Most people who die with ketamine in their system don't reach their 30th birthday. We also commissioned statistics very kindly provided by the Tic Tac Lab, which analyses drugs at St George's. And they said that with seizures from music festivals, ketamine now accounts for a quarter of drug seizures. And then looking at other, digging out other statistics, you can see that students say that ketamine is their favourite drug apart from cannabis. It's causing more health damage than any other club drug. There's been a record surge in references to the NHS for ketamine. There are now more than 2,000 people being treated in the NHS for ketamine. There's been a massive surge of findings of ketamine at the border. That's gone up fourfold in terms of seizures. And the proportion of 16 to 24-year-olds who've tried ketamine has trebled in the past 15 years.
And yet, despite all of that, we don't read about this all splashed over the papers. Well, not until your story now, of course, but the chat elsewhere is about heroin or cocaine being abused. Ketamine, we haven't heard of necessarily on a scale.
I think what's been happening is that ketamine is never the headline. So if you're looking at students and drugs, yes, it's mainly cannabis or weed. And if you're looking at drug deaths, there are these terrible statistics that come out for heroin and very frightening statistics for cocaine. Ketamine is never the headline. It's kind of by stealth risen as a problem without being noticed. But if you look at the whole population, in 1998, there were no recorded deaths from ketamine. And now it's running at 30 a year.
And with all of this becoming clearer and clearer, you'd expect, what, universities to clamp down on drug use to really try and close in on this? Is that what's happening?
Well, when I was looking at ketamine, I stumbled across something surprising and quite different. We must make clear this is entirely unrelated to the rise in ketamine use and deaths. But students may notice a revolution happening in the way that universities are treating students and drugs.
Coming up, the revolution of drugs on campus and the powerful student lobbying groups leading the charge.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Dominic, you've taken us into the world of ketamine use in universities. Some shocking statistics about the number of people since 2013, students who've died with a load of ketamine in their system, how it's easy to get your hands on it, as we heard. It seems like an unavoidable part of university life. What are universities actually trying to do about it to turn this situation around?
Yeah, well, drug use has become so commonplace on campuses that universities are softening their approach to students caught with illegal substances. And already some universities in the UK are emphasising not punishment and disciplinary measures anymore, but what is known as harm reduction. Universities UK, which represents all the vice-chancellors, they've set up a task force which is going to provide the first nationally agreed approach by universities to student and drugs. We don't know what they're going to say, but we do know that they are emphasising harm reduction. And this change of heart has been guided by a little-known pressure group called Students for Sensible Drug Policy UK.
Students for Sensible Drug Policy UK. Who are they and what is the sensible that they're getting at?
They actually originated in 1998 in the USA, and that was as a response to a proposed law which would effectively prevent anybody from becoming a student if they had a drug conviction. And in Britain, the British version of this campaign was set up in 2009, and that was when the Labour government was proposing to increase penalties for possession of cannabis. It's created as a response to repressive anti-drug policies. And they're keen to say they're neither pro or anti-drugs. The sensible bit, they will say that evidence shows that repressing drugs causes more harm than good. I think they should really become full-time paid lobbyists because I've never seen such a brilliant lobbying campaign as this. They get themselves in the room when policy is being made. And the most amazing coup they've got, this Universities UK task force, which is deciding the national policy for students and drugs, they have a student advisory body, and the chairperson of the student advisory body is on the board of Students for Sensible Drug Policy. She is Hannah Head. She has an MA in drug policy from Middlesex. She's studying for a doctorate in drug policy from Birmingham. It's great for her that she's in the room, but they might have chosen someone who didn't have preconceived positions on drugs.
And so she's in the room, and as you say, there as policy is being formed. What is she actually pushing? You mentioned this idea of harm reduction, not necessarily whether we should be stopping people from getting access to drugs or not, but just tackling what could be harmful about it.
Yeah, and harm reduction is really the buzz phrase that is used now throughout drug policy. That's the direction of travel. And that could mean what are called drug checking kits. It's very important that, and they're very responsible in the way that they explain how this works. They don't tell you exactly what that substance is that's in front of you. So it's not like a laboratory analysis. What they can tell you is, if you bought a white powder and you think it's cocaine, you can confirm it's cocaine. And then the University of the West of England, they probably sum it up best because they've done a video in which they explain to students what harm reduction means.
Hi, I'm Evan, your Students' Union president. here to talk about taking drugs with Becky Risley, UE's senior drug and alcohol practitioner. We want to ensure
it's a short video. It's about 2 minutes long. There are two presenters. One of them is a student senior official. He looks like he's about undergraduate age. Then the co-presenter is the senior drug and alcohol practitioner for the university.
Information from Public Health England suggests that illicit drugs are being sold with varying substances.
I'm sure she's really brilliant at her day job. On this occasion, she is required to co-present the video, and she's, be fair to say, she's not undergraduate age anymore. She's pretty young. And it starts off, they're kind of channeling stern parent.
Well, the safest action to take is to not do drugs at all. We know that some of you will whilst at university.
Safest thing is not to take any drugs at all.
Mm.
If you're considering taking drugs, it comes with a risk. And they do this screeching gear change. And they say, when you take your drugs, start off with a small dose and wait at least an hour.
Check your drugs.
Make sure you start with a low dose and take it slow. So that means waiting at least another hour before having another dose, just in case it's stronger than you think or there's any strange side effects. Also, make sure to have some good friends around you and tell them what you're taking. So if it does go wrong,
so they can ring 999 and tell the paramedics what you took. They don't say ring 999 to tell the police what's going on.
Oh yeah, yeah, good point. And this is the kind of thing that's being rolled out in what, some universities, lots of universities?
At the moment, there is a pilot scheme which is being done. The pilots are University of the West of England, Leeds and Keele. And the pilot scheme, it's run by a charity, a students' charity called SOS UK. And the advisors to that scheme, inevitably Students for Sensible Drug Policy are advising them, but also Universities UK itself, representing the vice-chancellors, and Public Health England, which is the government.
Gosh. And as you said at the start, this all sort of comes back to Students for Sensible Drug Policy UK, SSDP. They've got these pilot schemes where they're doing this kind of harm reduction advice, but they fingers in other pies in other universities as well.
Yeah, their first really big success in the UK, they set up a branch at Newcastle University in 2014, and by the end of that academic year, they'd already persuaded Newcastle to soften its policy on students and drugs. So they ended automatic evictions of students who were caught with drugs in hall. Newcastle went on to see one of the most harrowing of all student deaths from ketamine, and that was Jenny Lama, aged 18, from County Armagh. On her first night in England, her first night in university at Newcastle University, she took ketamine with a fellow student, Kavir Kalicharan. She had been drinking alcohol before, during the evening, and she died. When the police raided the premises, they found substantial quantities of three different types of Class A and B drugs in his room. One of the responses to this terrible death came from Hannah Head of Students for Sensible Drug Policy. The university put out a statement, a message to all their students after this death, in which they said, it's against the law to take and supply drugs. It's extremely dangerous. They can be lethal, and mixing drugs with alcohol further increases this risk. And remember that in this tragic case, it was the mixture of alcohol with ketamine that resulted in the death. Hannah Head went on a podcast. She characterised the Newcastle University's message to students as awful.
The university, I feel, they sent an email round about this, which I haven't seen, but I've had it. I've been read what it says. Which was just, it was awful. And I don't expect the university to accept blame or to, you know, say it's their fault somehow. But there was just no understanding and no real empathy for people.
We reached out to SSDP for comment, and they told us in a statement, SSDP neither condones nor condemns drug use, but recognises that students and young people use drugs. They say they hope to reduce harms related to this. We also reached out to Universities UK. They told us that the task force, launched in 2022, was made to bring an evidence-based approach to addressing student drug use. They told us that student voices were incredibly important to them, so the task force was informed by a weighted student survey of almost 4,000 students. They say their priority is to see students succeed and develop a proactive approach with student safety and health at its heart. SOS UK, the charity running the pilot scheme, also told us that they do not condone or encourage illicit drug use. They say that this programme has student wellbeing at its core, empowering students to seek support and make informed choices, which can only be achieved, they say, if higher education institutions develop a proactive approach centred on student safety and wellbeing. It's difficult, isn't it? Because everyone's got the same aim. No one wants students taking drugs and dying or doing themselves serious harm, but no one's got the balance quite right anywhere, it would seem.
Well, the harm reduction strategies that are being proposed, they would not have helped in this tragic case. So if you think of the drug checking approach, there's no suggestion that this ketamine was contaminated. The one thing that might have saved her is if there weren't drugs to hand. And in fact, there was a substantial amount of drugs. And this opportunity to take drugs is going to happen if drugs are around. And I just wonder, with some of these cases where students are piling in out of the pub, really happy, and say, oh, let's get some of the drugs that are there, that opportunity wouldn't arise if they weren't there. And people are saying to me, well, you're just naive because they'll have the drugs anyway. But the point of those disciplinary measures to try and keep halls as free of drugs as possible was to reduce the risk to students. And that threat of immediate expulsion for drug possession was lifted and it wasn't there anymore.
And the drugs are there, as you've explained, in halls at music festivals and the rest. Is part of what makes ketamine so dangerous the novelty of it and the fact that people don't know necessarily how much a quote-unquote safe dose is?
Yeah, I think also it's got this reputation. Even speaking to medical experts, they say, well, nobody's familiar with the idea of deaths from ketamine. But there are issues with mixing. Alcohol and ketamine, both of those substances cause breathing to slow down. So if you mix them together, you can really slow down your breathing and you can go into a coma or die. And it does happen. About 1 in 10 of people with ketamine in their system, also alcohol is implicated in that death. It's far more people who are dying when the cause of their toxicity is a mixture of ketamine with another illicit drug. So they're taking a cocktail of drugs. But you can be found dead with only ketamine in your system.
And finally, Dominic, you told us about one particular case of a student who tragically passed away after taking ketamine. But as you explained, well, right at the beginning of this conversation, there are so many of these deaths at so many different universities in the UK over the past few years. What were some of the other ones that have stuck with you, that you found?
Okay, well, there was an 18-year-old girl from Cardiff in 2020. She went into cardiac arrest in halls and her brain was deprived of oxygen. She died. Her name was Megan Pollitt. There was a 19-year-old boy who was a classic student at Oxford, and he liked to climb things after taking drugs, and his drug of choice was ketamine. He was found dead after falling from a height at a building site at a shopping centre. His name was Max Meehan. There was a 21-year-old boy at Southampton University. He went to a house party and took ketamine. He drowned in the mud of a model boat pond that had been drained. He had obtained a much cherished placement with the European Space Agency. His name was Amandeep Singh Sansoa. The saddest part of working on this story, and it really was upsetting. When I was researching the deaths of students who had ketamine in their system, I would look up their names on our database and I'd find out about the circumstances of their sad deaths. But the database includes local newspapers, so I would find references to them when they were still school children, and they'd be often the brightest and best people in their school, so they might have won a prize and it'd be in the local paper, or they won a quiz or had some sporting achievement. And I'm reading this knowing that these children who have such a fantastic future ahead of them, so much hope, they're going to be in a few years in a coffin. It's such a waste of life.
You've been listening to Stories of Our Times, a podcast brought to you thanks to subscribers of The Times and The Sunday Times, with me, Luke Jones, and my guest, investigations editor at The Times, Dominic Kennedy. If you're a subscriber, you can read all of Dom's investigations into the world of students and drugs and this particular scourge of ketamine at thetimes.co.uk. This episode was produced by Taryn Siegel. The executive producer is Kate Ford, and sound design was by David Crackles. And if you've a story that you think we should be covering, an idea for a future episode perhaps, or maybe you've just got thoughts on what you've just heard, send us an email, storiesofourtimes@thetimes.co.uk. Goodbye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.